Hi, good morning, SP. My name is Ian, and I'll be giving the message for this morning. So today I chose the passage in Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 12. I think in Proverbs 3, we're all quite familiar with the verses in 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I think that this is an often quoted verse, and in fact, I think we also learned this verse in GIC. So many of us have already memorized this verse, and it's a verse which comes to us in times of comfort when we are lost and when we need to know that the Lord is in control. But today I want to also look into the context in which Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 is written. And also, I find myself realizing that I often get this verse out of context and apply it in the wrong way. So if we can start with a word of prayer. And then I'll start reading the verses 1 to 12. Father God, I thank you for a morning like this when we can come together, we can hear your word, and Lord, we can just unpack the word a little bit more. We can look into the depth of your love for us, your word for us, your instruction for life. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us as we look into this as we meditate on your word and as we reflect on your word and how it applies in our lives. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. So, starting on with this verse, if you look at verse 1, it talks with, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." I think this is a really poetic and eloquent verse because it starts with not forgetting your teaching. And I think we can all, by heart, commandments in scripture, and we can go through the motions of being compliant, of acting in the right way. But it's not all the time that our hearts are also aligned with our actions. So it also says, but let your heart keep my commandments. It's not just the mental assent to the commandments, but also the scripture here is saying that our hearts need to also align and keep those commandments. And then in verse 2, it talks about lengthening the days and years of your life. And if you look at the way it's written, you can almost see a mirroring. So that when you do not forget the Lord's teaching and you comply with it and you follow it, it will add length of days and years to your life. But if you also keep the commandments in your heart, they will add peace to you. And I find this so apt and so well put together. But again, we know that life is also not that simple. We know that life can be cut short. We know that even if we keep the commandments of God in our heart, even if we love the Lord with all our heart, peace is not guaranteed, and peace in this world is often disrupted. We know also that the verses in Scripture tell us that Jesus came to give us peace, and the peace he gives us is not the peace that the world offers. But at the same time, we can't help but realize that the verses in Proverbs are not formulaic. It's not so that when you do keep his commandments, when you do keep his teaching, this promise will certainly follow. We have to take it as meaning a general sense, a general way about what will follow if we keep the Lord's commandments. And I think that this is correct. When we keep his commandments, we are aligning ourselves with what the future will hold in the new heavens and the new earth. We still live in the fallen world where sin is still pervasive. But when we align ourselves with God, when we keep his commandments, we are bringing ourselves closer and we're bringing heaven onto earth. And so we start to see the fruits of that. It's no promise because sin is still around, but we start to see the fruits of it. And in verse 3, it says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." And then, similar to verse 1 and 2, it says, "Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart." And so the promise then, or what would naturally follow, is it says in verse 4, "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." And again, we know it's not a certainty, but we know that when you demonstrate steadfast love and faithfulness, there is a natural tendency to follow that we find favor and good success in sight of God and man. And I think just to elaborate a bit more, it's exactly because there is sin in this world and because that these promises don't follow for certain that we can sometimes become very disheartened. And Jesus reminded us that in this world we will have trouble, right? But he gives us the peace, and the peace is not the peace that the world offers. And it's in this context which I think that the famous passage in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 comes in. Because in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it follows and it says, "Then trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." It's exactly after you have followed the Lord's commandments, after you've kept it with all your heart, and then when you expect, when I expect something good to happen and it doesn't happen, as it can often be the case, that we start to become disheartened, we become discouraged, we start to question whether or not there is a God, we start to question why is there evil, why are bad things happening to me, why is it that I'm innocent and I'm still suffering. We know naturally that the apostles suffered for Christ, and we also sometimes even sing the songs and the lyrics that we would lay our life down for Jesus and we would suffer for him. But when it comes, it always takes us by surprise. It takes me by surprise as well. Because innately, I believe, and innately, when I read the verses of 1 to 4 in Proverbs 3, I want to believe that there will be favor, there will be good success in the sight of God and man. And when that doesn't happen, I need to turn to verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." It's precisely my own understanding of what should happen that discourages me, that draws me down. And so verse 5 is really there to remind me that trust and continue keeping the Lord's commandments, continue being faithful to him. and in all my ways acknowledge him, acknowledging that he is still sovereign, acknowledging that he sees everything, and acknowledging that there will come a time when all the wrongs are made right again, and when all the tears are wiped away, when all the injustices, you know, are revenged by the Lord. And it says, he will make straight your paths. He will make your path straight. So often when we read the verses in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, I take it out of context and I read it as if I don't need to really care about what's going on around me. I don't need to worry so much about things. I just need to acknowledge the Lord. I just need to trust him, and I just need to blindly follow and just, you know, be hopeful that somehow in the midst of all the chaos, the Lord will just fix things, right? He will fix all the things that are wrong. And I just need to close my eyes and just follow his leading, and then he will make sure that I walk along the right path. But that's not quite really the case, because in verse 1 to 4, we are told that we should be doing something at the same time, right? And it's not a formula. There is no certainty. And verse 5 to 6 is really there to catch us and to encourage us to continue keeping the Lord's commandment, to continue living a life which is faithful and which exudes that faith, that steadfast love that is talked about. And in verse 7 to 8, it says, be not wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Why is it that it has to say turn away from evil? I think if I look at this in my life, I often turn to evil ways. Evil ways in the sense that I decide, you know what? It's not working. The ways of the Lord, I've kept his commandments. I've been good to people. I have done what I think is right. And yet, I'm not getting the rewards that I'm promised in Scripture. And then I turn to evil ways. I turn to selfish ways. I turn to maybe gossiping about my coworker. I turn to maybe doing something which I know is wrong, but I know will give me an instant rewards, will reap me instant worldly rewards. You know, whether it's cheating, whether it's cutting corners, I know that doing this will get me the instant gratification I want, because the ways of the Lord just don't always work like a formula. But in this world, in most cases, there can be a formula in the way in which we apply our lives and get the instant rewards. And that's when it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Because oftentimes when we do that, it seems to work. And the more it seems to work, the more we do it. And the more we do it, the more we think that it is us. And it's us creating all these rewards and good things, forgetting that possibly this is the mercy and the grace of God that is sustaining us. So it says, fear the Lord. Now, in other parts of Scripture, it says the beginning of wisdom is it comes from fear of the Lord. And when we fear the Lord, we acknowledge him again. When we fear the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. In other parts of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom as a person, Lady Wisdom. And it tells us to seek after wisdom, that wisdom is worth far more than gold and rubies. And it's precisely this fear of the Lord, this wisdom that comes from the fear of the Lord, that it says in verse 8, will bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Healing to my flesh and refreshment to my bones. After I've sought my own ways, after I've turned away from God and looked at evil things, when I start to fear the Lord again, he puts me back in the right position and brings healing physically to my body, but deeper still, refreshment to my bones. Right? And I think that's also, you know, almost similar to what you see in verse 2. It will add length of days to your life. But more importantly, what's the point of a long life if you don't have peace? And so it says that peace also it will add to you. And in verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, right? And with the first fruits of all your produce. Again, I really like the poetic nature of the way Proverbs is written. We can honor the Lord with our wealth, right? And we can do our tithes, and we can donate to charity. But when it says, and with the first fruits of your produce, I know it's talking here about farming and cultivation, but if we apply it now to our lives, the first fruits is really a symbol of the very best of what we have. It may not just be about the income that we receive. Some of us are not in employment and we might be at home or we might be doing something else, but it's really the time, the resources that we have at our disposal, the first and the best of everything that we have, we give to God. And that can only come from a heart which is trusting in the Lord. That can only come from a heart which acknowledges the Lord. Because if we don't trust in the Lord and we don't acknowledge Him and His sovereignty, then how can we bring ourselves to give Him the best and the first of everything that we have? It will be our natural tendency to store away and to apply it to whatever our so-called needs are and see what's left over and then give that to God. After all, no one sees it, right? So if we get our, let's say we apply back to with our salary or income, we would apply it to pay off our debts, mortgages maybe, whatever it is, buy the things that we need, our daily necessities. And then whatever is left over, we take that and then we tithe, right? And no one will know. No one will know whether or not we tithed our first fruits. They will just know that we tithed, right? And we can say, check the box. We've done what we're supposed to be doing. But that's not what the Lord is seeking from us. Yes, tithing is still good, and you should still do it anyway. In the same way, it will probably, you know, it says, when you don't forget the Lord's teaching, when you still follow it, it will add length and days to your life. But then we miss out on the peace. We miss out on the peace of God. We miss out on the refreshment to our bones. Right? We might get favor in the sight of man, but we don't get favor in the sight of God. In verse 10, it also tells us that when we do this, when we honor the Lord with our wealth, and it says that your barns will be filled with plenty. And then it also says your vats will be bursting with wine. And I know that many of my Christian friends and people around me have always attested to this. They've always said, you know what, you can never outgive God. And I think some of us have heard this before. You can never outgive God. You know, when you give to God, you will reap tenfold, a hundredfold. You know, I've done this myself, and I can attest to it. It really works. It's guaranteed. It's more than guaranteed. And I think it's all said in good intention. It's all said, it's well-meaning, but it also can be slightly skewed and it can be slightly misleading for people, for the hearers, to internalize that and think. And I think I'm guilty of this myself, to think that, oh yeah, actually there's this kind of, you know, biblical kind of trick that no one else knows, right? Which it seems really holy on the face of it, that when we give to God, you know, somehow magically, you know, we get this financial reward as well, right? And this is like the law of God. It's written in scripture. So God cannot deny himself, right? He's faithful to us. So this will surely happen. And then it becomes almost like, you know, a secret expectation in the heart that somehow we should be blessed because we've done this, because we tithe, because we've given to this worthy cause, because we've helped a brother or a sister out. You know, we've done this, that surely we cannot be lacking in anything as a result. But then what? Catastrophe can still hit, right? We could lose our jobs. Something bad could happen as a result. And then we're left dumbfounded. We're left thinking, what in the world just happened? You know, I did everything that was right. And now I have no money, and now all of a sudden I'm in debt. But I've always given to the Lord. When I've earned my income, I've always given back to the Lord. You know, I've given over and beyond the tithe, even the so-called tithe, or the so-called 10%. And that's when we go back to the famous verse in verses 5 to 6. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. This famous verse is there to remind us, right, that even after we've done all that we can do and we've followed faithfully the Lord, but the world doesn't reward us as a result, that we then still need to trust in the Lord and continue to be faithful. And in verse 11 to 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights." It's a picture of a very proactive father. A proactive father who goes out and corrects us. He knows that we are prone to wandering away. He knows that even if he were to say, "Trust in me with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding," we will still not be able to fulfill that. He knows that there is still a chance, a very good chance. In fact, it's almost guaranteed that we will somehow fall short. We will fall short. And that's why he is a proactive father who goes out, who corrects our ways. Sometimes it is painful. And sometimes it makes us angry. It makes us frustrated. But he's saying, do not be angry. Do not despise my discipline, because he only does it because he loves us and he wants us to be back onto the right path, back onto the right track. And if he doesn't do that, he's not a loving father. If he doesn't do that, we will just continue wayward. Because even with all the scripture that we have before us, even with all the sermons and the information and knowledge before us, it's so hard to keep the commandments. And it is so difficult to be perfect. In fact, it is almost impossible to be perfect. We always say that we are a constant work in progress. And it is true. We need that help. We need that hand of God to push us back onto the right path. And that's where our comfort comes. That even if we fall short of all these commandments, the Lord is there to catch us. And the Lord is there to bring us back into alignment with him. And I really love the way, you know, a verse in Psalm really captures this heart of David when he writes in Psalm 139, in the last two verses, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So as I close, and I invite Marcus to lead us in in worship. I just pray that we will all be encouraged and not discouraged by Scripture. I pray that, you know, when we encounter difficulties, when we have disappointments in life, when things don't work out, even though we follow the Lord's commandments, we will still be encouraged, that we will still know that the Lord is sovereign, that we will still not let our affections move away from God and focus back on to the things of the world where we can get that instant reward or instant gratification. I also pray that we will be like King David, that we won't despise the Lord's reproof, that we will in fact even invite the Lord to correct us and to teach us, that we will be like David and say, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Know not just my outward appearance and my outward acts, but search me and know my heart, God. Try me, test me, right? Know my anxieties as well. The Lord is compassionate, and see if there's any wicked way in me, so that I will be led in the way everlasting." I pray that that will be our prayer today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to us as we worship the Lord in this time and throughout the day. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus.
Father God, Lord, I thank you for just your word and the music that you created and been able to just bless us with gifts to worship you and to just love on you, Lord. I pray that as we turn to this time of prayer for our community, that we will look beyond ourselves and we will bless our brothers and sisters. So, Lord, may you hear our prayers, Lord. For the community, Lord, and may you bless our brothers and sisters and the friends around them. Let's turn to our community prayers now, and let's pray for those of us, those of our friends and people that we know who are suffering from cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's pray. Let's also pray for those who are also going through various illnesses, but more importantly, pray for their salvation. Let's also pray for those suffering from various physical infirmities. Let's continue to lift them up. Let's also lift up the community that are looking for jobs, and pray that God will be quick, Lord, to open the door for those of us who are looking for jobs. Let's also turn our focus on the missions. In the missions field, we pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly in SB New York. Let's also continue to pray for the open doors for ministry in North Korea, as well as partnerships and opportunities in Asia. And we remember our brothers and sisters as well in the Middle East and the persecuted churches. We also pray for the weekend gatherings, Sunday service, the well, SP Kids, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services, migrant workers outreach, and all the other meetings happening this over the weekend, including the house churches and all. We just pray for a time of great fellowship and joy and peace to fill the hearts of those in fellowship and in those in service. Let's also pray for the mothers and their pregnancies. We pray for a smooth pregnancy, and we pray for protection over mother and child. Pray for Kathleen, Eunice, Yuling, and others. We just pray the Lord will bless them and keep them. Also bless just the families as well, and those around them attending to them. We just pray for covering over the entire process. Last but not least, let's also pray for our city, Hong Kong. We just continue to lift up Hong Kong, and we pray that things can go back to normal, or the new normal. We pray for adjustment for people as well, back into the workplace. We pray for protection over just the leaders. We pray for wisdom. We pray for just this city to be a light in the midst of all the things that go on in the world. We pray that us being in the city can help the city become that beacon of light. So Lord, we just pray for blessing and healing in this land. Thank you for joining, and I hope to see you guys tomorrow at service. Bless you and have a good weekend. Bye.